ready? He's known as an artist and comedian, with a loyal following exceeding 640,000 warm bodies on TikTok. And a 50-year-old bald, rotund males live vicariously through him. Welcome, Uncle Artie.
Thank you,
Brad,
for having
me. Was worth it.
That was good. That was 10 out of 10 intro. I love that.
Man, we're here for you.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, and also, guys, I really like you guys. This is one of my favorite places to be. Next time I'm on here, if you guys would like me to send you behind-the-scenes data, I'll have one of my mages put that together for you guys if you want.
Love it. And yeah. I love that you call them your mages. And I love that you had to make a disclaimer video for that, and it made me laugh a lot. Yeah. I was like, that's good.
They've been very excited the last month or so because we've been working on this for a while, and as we're getting bigger, they're starting to take on more tasks that they're really having a great time. So we have a few of them that specialize in merch. Some of them specialize in like data and stuff like that. It's getting really fun behind the scenes.
That's awesome. And like Brent said, your numbers, I mean, I know it hasn't been overnight for you. You've been working at this for a while. Mm-hmm. And you've been working really, really hard. And I would say within the last like 2 or 3 months, it's just been like, what do you attribute to that?
Well, this is one of the things where, in beginning of March, my numbers had been sort of falling off both from TikTok and from the music itself. And I had a number of personal things that were going on at the time that had nothing to do with music in my personal life that were some of the hardest that I've had to deal with. And so at the beginning of March, I told my community, I told everybody, I said, guys, I'm not well. I need to take a month off to be away, not stream, not make TikToks, not do music. I need to just go away and just sort of figure all this stuff out. And so they were very kind, and we put a bunch of stuff in motion so that, you know, some things would be, you know, there was customer support for, people coming into the server and stuff like that. My community is kind of run off a Discord server, so it's sort of got like a mechanism in place.
So that was very smart, by the way, having that Discord and that whole community.
Yeah. It was something that my co-conspirator, her name is Rochambeau, we call her Ranch, in the early days when Incompetence first took off, we had a really good conversation about like what the parallel universes are for if this takes off the way we want it to. And what are the things that are going to give us the advantages that major labels don't have? Things that can give us some sort of tool set that's not your standard. Okay, I'm a musician. Here's my music. Here's my videos. Go watch it. Some extra thing that would give us an advantage. And we talked about Discord, and we talked about how having a behind the scenes back room or a catwalk hovering above my content that could sort of like puppeteer things would be a huge benefit. And so we spent a lot of time and money developing that, and it ended up working. So
well, worked very well for you, but go ahead back to what you were saying.
So I took that month off, and you know, my mages took over everything, and I just kind of just hung out, and I did something that I haven't done in 10 plus years. I did nothing. I didn't make anything. I didn't focus on anything. I watched TV, and I watched TV shows that I hadn't seen, movies that I hadn't seen in a while. And I tried to just let go of the pandemic and essential worker and TikTok and Incompetence and Chaos, which at that time, my album had been out for a couple of months, and it was, my Spotify was getting about 700 streams a day, which is awesome. The artists love getting the streams every single day. But it was down from where it was. And so it was starting to look like I would have to, kind of move on to another project, and that Chaos was a great idea, but ultimately it didn't work. And I had started writing a book called Building Chaos, where I was talking about the last 3 years of trying to design this thing from one viral video to a whole universe. So the month came and went, and I came back, and I'm not going to say that I was like healed, but I was definitely in a better place to start looking at things like a little bit differently. So one of the first things that happened was I came back to the server. I said, hello, everyone. Lord Artie has returned. What's going on? What's new? Where are we at? And so inside my server, my community has kind of like a micro community aspect to it. There's people that are there for creative reasons. They're there to sort of workshop stuff. There's some people who are there just to be entertained. So they have like these special subscriptions they do to get bonus content from me and videos and stuff like that. And so just on a whim, I was like, you know what? I haven't given them any bonus content in a while. Let me find something. So I went into my Chaos files, and I found a song called Nothing. It had no name. It was just an unknown sort of whatever. it was Gongress, basically, but it was Gongress that was missing lyrics, right? It was just, it was a demo that was cut from the original album. I posted it and I said, hey, here's bonus content. They're like, dude, we love this. And I was like, okay, well, that's interesting, because while I was off, one of the things that happened during March was that whole TikTok committee congressional hearing happened. There was a blank space in the song that I couldn't figure out before the album came out, and it was something, something, something works, and I couldn't figure out what was supposed to go there. But after watching those hearings and him being like, you know, does TikTok connect to my Wi-Fi? And he's just like, the guy's just staring at him like, yes, that's how that works. And so I remember just watching, I'm like, wow, these people don't know how the internet works. And I was
like,
that's, oh, we need to finish this song. Like, I can make like a bonus single. So I just started working on that, and I posted it, and it went viral. It felt kind of like surreal, because we had been training for this for months. My mages had seen Incompetence. I'm like, okay, if another video goes viral, here's the sequence of events. We start promoting. We make a full song. We drop it. We find links, places on the internet to send it. So it, like clockwork, it was perfect. And so Gongress became my new hit single. But that's not where the story gets crazy. The story gets crazy 3 days into that. The song is out. You know, suddenly I'm getting like, you know, 10,000 views a day on Spotify, and I'm like very excited. So in the middle of the night at 3 a.m, I just had this weird thought that we had talked about for months. I said, you know what? There's only one song on my quote unquote flopped album that we never promoted. Like, we never actually gave it a TikTok video, and it was Saddy Daddy-O. So just 3 a.m, I said, let me shoot it. Like, this is the last marketing card I have for this album. Let's see what happens. And so I posted it, and that song went well beyond anything we have ever done before. Within a week, it had rocketed my album to number one on comedy iTunes above Weird Al, Bo Burnham. Saddy Daddy-O became the number one single on iTunes comedy. I got on the Billboard chart for the first, you know, first time appearances for alternative music. I was able to leave my consulting that I had sort of done, and we got to a point where instead of 700 listens a day, I'm averaging about 80,000 listens on Spotify a day. Just everything started turning, and we started doing radio appearances, and now we're at a point now where Chaos is no longer a flopped album. It's a universe that people have sort of just discovered and went back and listened to everything else, and now they're asking for what's next. So my mages and I have figured out, looks like this is actually going to work. So it's been fun. You know, because one of the things I talked about in, or I talk about in the book, which now I'm going to have to sort of change the way that it's going to end, because I thought it was going to be about a failed album, is that this whole process going from making videos to making a full album has been like starting a fire in the woods, where you start with small twigs, one video, couple of followers. Okay, now we build it to a bigger thing, you know, but fires eventually go out. But one thing that I remember as a kid growing up is, the day after a fire, you can usually dig underground and find coals that are still hot. And if you put enough pine needles on that, the fire can start again. So it kind of went through that, where we thought this project was dead and that there was nothing else in it. And all it took was one song about, you know, overaged congressmen to sort of light this whole thing on fire again. And literally accomplish the thing that we always wanted to do, which was show that a comedy album can also just be a bop.
And it really is a bop from beginning to end. I wouldn't have said it was a failed album. Yeah. I would have said it was an indie album. I wouldn't have said it was a mainstream album, but I never would have said it was a failed album, because there are too many people. There is a lady at my work, and I was like, oh, I have a new interview coming up for my podcast. And she said, who? And I said your name, and she looked at me and she went, Incompetence. And I was like, yeah, dude. Everybody knows, like, anybody who has TikTok knows who you are. They may have their feelings, but I feel like they know who you are. I wouldn't say
that's
a fail.
That's interesting, because we talk about that a lot, how I'm, you know, I'm just in the woods. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just kind of live here every day, and I wake up, and, you know, so the only time I ever really see the effect of this music is through the internet. And, you know, the internet is only like the tip of the iceberg of reality. I had a DJ message me during a live the other day who said that he played Incompetence and Saddy Daddy-O at an event he was at, and it like absolutely destroyed. And I was like, are you serious? I was like, do you have footage? He's like, no, why? I was like, because I want to see. Like, you want to see the effect of the work you're doing.
That's funny, because I listened to Saddy Daddy-O, and because I used to DJ, and I was like, oh my God, I would mix this. I would have mixed this 10, 15 years ago. It's the beat itself is great.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's been very surreal the last couple of months. I tell my server all the time that, like, I've been strategizing and planning and trying to anticipate Like, I've been studying virality my entire life. The internet's kind of like a language to me. So I've always thought about, like, what happens if this happens? How should you respond? What are ways that musicians have gone from, like, one good song to, like, a whole project? What's the appropriate way to build a community and to give people a feeling of being part of something that's a little bit bigger than just a guy proving how clever he is on a laptop? So for us to finally have done that in only the last couple of weeks, it's awesome, but it's also scary because my playbook is now out of pages. You know, this is as far as we've ever strategized and thought about. So we've officially kind of stepped over the edge of the map. And now it's like, okay, you did it. You built a universe where people are like debating your songs and they're making remixes and it's having this huge effect on people. So now what? So it's the first time in my creative life that I don't have all the answers, and we're just kind of, okay, now let's figure out what to do. So it's exciting, but also scary at the same time.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've been watching you a lot. That sounds creepy. I've been watching
you a lot.
He's
in the bushes outside your house.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I thought that was you.
I'm breathing heavy. I'm fogging up your glass.
Go ahead.
So I worry about you in some ways, and I don't know if you want to keep this in or not. So almost everything you write is satire, which is really good, which is why I like what you do and why what you do is important.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you kind of carry a certain level of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see it because I recognize it. It's something that kind of makes me who I am, something that does its thing for me. And so when I hear you say things like, I had no idea, this was a failure, I hope at some point you'll take your foot off your neck, be okay with what you've done. Because even if you only did incompetence, that was important.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't think you're done. I think you're going to go on and do other things. I think now you're really in a good place to create something really cool. And the reason is because it's not all you now. It's going to be better. You're going to be taking the best of not only your team, but your colony, your universe, and pulling it together into something great. I'm really encouraged by what you do. When I watch you, I enjoy it. And I know everyone else does because your numbers are just fucking insane. Also, when I look at your stuff, like I don't think I look at your stuff or anyone else's stuff like normal people do. Mm-hmm. Like when I look at your number, I'm like, okay, monetarily, this means this. And so, yeah, you know, cause like there's a big difference between 700 a day and the other numbers you were talking about. Mm-hmm. As far as financially, I'm really pumped that you're not only getting the recognition, you're making a difference. You're talking about stuff that people do not normally talk about in a way that people don't talk about it either. Your delivery is really cool, but you're creating a foundation and a revenue stream that's going to keep going and propel you into the next level, which is really exciting, I think.
I was wondering, since you've learned so much, especially since, you know, just recently, have you thought about producing other people?
I have. So one of the things that has happened recently, and we're starting to figure out. Well, first of all, let me say, Brent, that was very sweet of you. Yes, you may. I will do my best to. I try to remind myself of that a lot because it's like you said, like it's very hard sometimes to really see the effect of what's happening. And so one thing that my inner circle and also my co-conspirator Ranch has been trying to get me to be better about is exactly what you're talking about, which is to sort of recognize that it wasn't a failure, right? So I do my best. So I do appreciate those words. So thank you very much. What was your question? Sorry.
Well, with all that you've learned and with the community that you've built, have you thought about producing other people?
Yes. And we're already kind of sort of doing that. So it was so interesting, like the way that one of the reasons I'm excited to one day finish this book is because like there's what you guys kind of saw on the outside and some of the decisions that happened on the inside. So one thing that just happened randomly was like right before I came back before the end of March, I kind of had this thought of like I was looking at the album art for Chaos and I was just like, we need to use the cassette art because the cassette had the bright red sort of this mm-hmm. thing on it. The other art was sort of a custom piece we had made. And I was just like, if we make the digital album match the cassette, the people that own the cassette, if they see the album start doing well, will feel like they own a piece of this universe. That was as far as that thought went. And then as all of this started happening, we started seeing other weird benefits, right? Like, my album is bright red, so the second it appeared on the chart, people were like spotting it immediately. They were like, oh my God, look, that's over there. So one of the things that happened in that process was about 2.5 weeks ago, I was doing a live stream. And this was right when Saddy Daddy was like really just 250,000 streams a day, was just going absolutely bananas. Someone during the live stream just said, hey man, I like your stuff. I'd love to, are you releasing the stems for Saddy Daddy at all? The acapella and the instrumental so that we got, I'm a DJ. And I was like, to the shock of everyone, I was like, yep, what's your email? He was like, what? I was like, what's your email?
Yeah.
So give me his email. And right there on live stream, I sent it to him. His name is Pandasonic, and he's a DJ who has about 16 monthly listeners at the time. And I listened to his stuff on live, and I was like, you are way more talented than I am. What, you have 16 monthly listeners? And so in the live stream, he's talking about how, you know, he was part of this label, and, you know, they didn't really do much for him, and said, all right, you have 7 days to give me a remix, and if I like it, I'll make it an official release. And, like, the entire stream was just like, are you kidding me? What, are we watching this happen? He turned it in 3 days. I listened to it on stream, and I said, all right, I'll send you the agreement over. And then we released it last Friday. My buddy CJ and I, he did a remix of it. I have another buddy named Brooks of York, who his remix of Saddy Daddy is coming out tomorrow. He's someone who him and I have been, like, talking about collabing for a while. So the reason I bring that up is that, like, I always talked about how when Incompetence came out, I sort of immediately went into – how do we turn this into something bigger? Not for financial gain, but because what happens a million times that I studied was that a new artist will come out with a hit single, and then the trajectory is the same every single time. It's okay, now you got to come out with a second single. Okay, now you got to work them up to an album. And you got to hope the album does well so that you can get past the sophomore album slump. And I was just tired of that. And I was like, this has to be something bigger. It can't be about me. It has to be a universe. And I used to use that word all the time. So now that Saddy Daddy-O is like on fire and people are discovering Chaos and they're discovering, wait, oh, okay, so he does comedy music, but it's arguably not comedy and it's electronic.
Well, I was gonna say.
And it's something that you could play in a club. It's not Bo Burnham. It's not Weird Al. It's some different thing, but it's a piece of, once they figured out what the vibe is, artists were coming left and right who understood it. It reminds me of the story that Chris Nolan said when he was talking about how, like, Batman Begins, or I guess Heath was talking about how after everyone saw Batman Begins, everyone understood the universe he was trying to make. So Heath Ledger pretty much called him and was just like, hey, I get what you're going for. Here's how I think a Joker could fit into that world. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to be doing a lot more producing of, like, other artists that are coming both into the Chaos universe, and I'm also working with other artists behind the scenes on their stuff, too, because they... Now that we've built a universe that almost doesn't need me anymore, people are like coming in knowing what the vibes are, and they almost like know how to approach me in terms of like how we would collab. It's been really special to see, you know, these artists. Me and Pandasonic are like best friends right now. We snap each other all the time. And like I met him during a live stream like 3 weeks ago, but it's because he was drawn to this universe and understood what I was going for. And we have similar backgrounds that we just sort of, our collaborations are going to be insane.
It's going to be dope.
Yeah, I think you're getting better. Just listening to these songs, specifically Gondress,
yeah.
I think you're getting better as far as your technicality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like that. Did we want to talk about songs? I'm ready to get into songs.
Look at that eyebrow.
Let's do it. That's his favorite part, which is fair. So first off, let's talk about Gondress, which, you know, you just said it. You said songs that are satire, but they aren't really. This is an excellent example of that. These old men, and I try not to get political, but these old men are making laws that are going to affect my daughter.
Right.
And they'll be gone. And who the fuck do they think they are?
Mm-hmm.
And so that song was really important to me as a parent. And I just, thanks. I don't know. I don't have anything else to say. Go ahead, Brent.
All right. I think the music's interesting. Like when it first starts, but when you hit the chorus, it's pretty awesome. The second chorus is my favorite mixing, the different vocal textures and rhythm changes.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, you could almost argue that it's a different song musically, not satirically.
Right.
But you could literally take either one of those parts and put them in another song. But so it's really cool that you're able to merge those two. And the vocal textures is where I think you're really starting to really do better. I remember talking to you the last time and you're like, yeah, I wanted to be a director and then I wanted to do this. And you're like, I have lightning in a bottle. I just don't know what the hell, you know, but it's like I'm hearing you mature, musically. When people just break you down to a comedy thing, that's not what it is.
Right.
Because you're funny does not make you comedy.
Right.
I actually think you're an artist, you know, an actual artist with something to contribute to not only people like me and Ronell, but other musicians. So I'm glad to hear that you're working with other musicians.
I'm a senator who's 75. I don't know what's keeping me alive, and I make stupid laws that affect the youth by spinning little lies until they sound like the truth. And I earn so much money investing in stocks while children go to school just to face down a clock. And I make easy millions from insider trades, and I'll make another million from the tax I evade. I don't want to hear about minimum wage, abortion, the climate, or how we'll change. I don't really understand critical race. I'm making six figures to lie to your face. I don't know how the internet works. I wrote up to Congress inside of a hearse. I might even have at the end of this verse. I might even have at the end of this. I'm ruining the world for all of you. One law at a time. I'm ruining the world for all of you. One law at a time. I don't want to hear about minimum wage, abortion, the climate, or how we'll change. I don't really understand critical race. I'm making six figures to lie to your face. I don't know how the internet works. I won't put the Congress inside of a hearse. And by the time you know something is wrong, it won't really matter because I will be gone. Cross my heart.
So you're very open to listening and expressing your feelings. So are there any song topics that do make you uncomfortable? Because you're okay with stalkers. You're okay with daddy issues. You're okay with stereotypes. You're okay with man cold. And you're okay with politics. What terrifies you?
The answer may surprise you. Every single one of those songs horrified me, right? It's one thing to make, so I'm going to use the phrase selfish art, and I want to be very clear that when I say selfish art, what I do not mean is that I don't mean it in sort of a negative way. I mean it as you're making art that's, its purpose is to just express something that you have. It's for me that I want people to enjoy it. Look how clever I am. Not in a bad way, but just like, hey, look what I could do with a laptop. Selfish art is very easy to make, right? Because you only have really one person to impress. The chaos universe is one where it cannot be about me. I can use me. I can use my experience. I can use my humor. I can use my music ability. It can't be about me. So even if it's a topic that I 100% understand and that we're on the right side of history for, it still horrifies me because at the end of it, if you close your eyes and take a step back, you have one human being lecturing another human being and telling them, this is the way that you should be thinking about that. And the last thing that I am is qualified to teach anything. Like I really am. I've been a career B student my entire life. You know, I haven't always been the most emotionally mature person in the world. I've made mistakes all throughout my life. I don't have the best social skills always. I'm not someone that you should model yourself completely by, right? So every one of those songs scares me because it puts me in a situation where like, hey guys, have you thought about this? And you could just be wrong. You know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. I think that the way that I've figured out now, when I was first making Chaos, there was no album yet. So I was trying to figure out what does this universe look like? What does it talk about? Now that it exists and I can sort of look at it like an audience member, I'm getting better about my writing process, which is I go into each one of these things just asking, what are we trying to do here? So with Gongress, it's like, what's the purpose of this? It's just to ask the question, should we be considering age? That's the only thing we have to do here. Now, how are we going to get them to that point? Well, we're going to make them laugh. And then we're going to make them not laugh. And that's it. And that's as far as we go. And I've gotten really good about trusting that no matter how scared I am, knowing that I'm doing this for what I consider to be the right reasons will ultimately lead to more people than not understanding what I'm doing. But I'm still horrified every single time I do these songs. It's still like, you know.
Good. Good. No, I don't.
He said good. He's like good. I'm glad.
No. Because when you're horrified or scared, you're going to do something different. And it's going to – yes, you could fail. It could be a total turd. But you could polish that turd.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you're far enough along that you're pretty much, unless you really turn away from what you were trying to do, as long as you stay focused on that, mm-hmm. anything you create will be good. I think – you're kind of in the perfect position to be saying the things you're saying because you're not offensive. So I'm an old white guy. So because of that, you could be saying that about me. And so my question to me is what am I doing about this?
Right.
For me, you know, is this me? Is he talking about me? I know you right. weren't talking about me, but I have to ask that. Have I ever been that way? How right. do I feel about that if I've been that way? If I am that way, how do I keep from becoming that? Mm-hmm. I think because of your trajectory, I think you're perfect for being in this position. And I think the thing that's also cool about you and your team is the fact that they're your sounding board and you go to them to go, okay, I'm scared about this. What do you think? And then they will point you to, well, this is what we're trying to do. So this is in line or this is not in line. And mm-hmm. that's the great thing about it. You're building something and it's going to be really cool. And I hope you start a record company if you haven't already started it. If you need help, let me know. I'll help you.
So two things. One, exciting news. So the timing of all this thing was 2 weeks before Gongress got posted, even when I was taking my month off, one thing I did do is I just went ahead and filed for my LLC. So I started Somnotech Studio, this is the funniest thing ever. When I formed the LLC, I basically signed over Artemis, the concept of him, concept of Chaos, all of the songs. I sold it to the company for $1. So that it would be, you know, because all of it was made before the LLC. So just to make sure there was a paper trail of, okay, this is now protected by this LLC. I wrote up a document that was just like, you know, I signed this over for the cost of like $1. And so as of last week, I'm looking at all the songs, you know, I'm looking at number one on iTunes comedy single album like that. And I was like, man, I made a real good deal on that.
You can hold off that $1, man.
That was a good investment. So yeah, I do have a record company basically now. Which I'm very excited for. But to speak about, so Gongress is a good example of my writing process, right? The truth of all of this is that I do have what the young kids say are hot takes. So with Gongress, I don't think I could have come out with that. I'm glad it didn't come out on the original album because I have always had very strong feelings about there needs to be a cutoff age for people in government. And, you know, I also am someone who believes that ageism exists. You know, I have parents who are slightly older baby boomers. And so I've seen the effect of ageism in the real world. But politics is the one place where I firmly believe that there's a degree of it that you're allowed to have simply because it should only affect the people that it affects. So even when I posted Gongress, there were a couple people that accused me of ageism. And of course, I had already planned for this and I knew what I was going to do from a content perspective. But at a philosophical level, I knew that that was going to be the reaction. I knew that some people would call it ageism. But with the reason that chaos is called chaos, the reason that this universe works is that you're not always going to agree with what's being said. But what we're going to do is do a weird sort of alchemy. So while a handful of people are in the comments saying like, oh, this is really ageist, I think that everyone has the potential to make bad political decisions. Meanwhile, the rest of the comment section, you have people from the left side and the right side are in total agreement. They're like, yep, we need to have age limits. Left side, oh my God, we have age limits. So it's like, it's alchemy, basically. Like this song, during one of the most divisive times in political history, where you have people that are just going to have their opinions and they're getting more radical by the day, this is one of the few comment sections in the entirety of TikTok where everyone agrees that this is a problem. To me, that magic just completely washes away any sort of tiny instances of, oh, well, this is a little bit ageist, you know what I mean? So, and we do, I do that by design now, and I do have a little bit more confidence than I used to have where, you know, I'll write certain words and choose certain words kind of knowing the way that they're going to react to it, but ultimately trusting that most people are going to get what we're trying to talk about. So it's been really cool trusting the internet in a way that, like, I think they're going to get it because the way that I write now, I figured out in the same way that people are trying to learn what the chaos universe is about, I'm also learning how to speak it. I'm trying to learn what the languages are. What kind of songs can we make in this universe? It shocks me that we came out with a political song. When I first thought about this, I was like, dude, politics is the one thing that chaos would never touch because it's impossible to bring two sides together. Hot take. I hate the concept of political rallies. Why? Because everyone in the room already agrees with you. What's the point of talking points to a room that's already going to vote to you? I wanted to make a piece of art that you could tell both sides and both of them would agree that this is something that needs to change. And I don't know. It was a fun thing to do. And so I really enjoyed seeing it work.
Hey, I was wondering, have you thought about diversifying your music?
In what way?
I think some of your songs would lend themselves to country and rock and metal, specifically metal,
right?
Metalcore, things like that.
And on TikTok, there have been several metal guitarists that have duetted him and have done just that. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. So the last time that we spoke, actually, I think you made a similar comment about that. And fun fact about me to add to the arty lore out there in the universe. So the person that taught me how to use Logic Pro was my good friend named CJ Vickery. We went to the college together and he was the one that I picked up the phone one day and said, dude, I think I want to start making music. And he tell me everything you know about Logic Pro. So I went over to his house and he showed me, and he's one of the most greatest unknown guitarists like on the planet. Like he's so good. So after we had that conversation, I want to say very soon after that, I had a call with him and I was just like, hey, do you think you could, like, just listen to Leave Her Alone? Like, just, I didn't tell him why, but I said, can you just listen to it? And so he listens to it, and he's just like, dude, I don't know if you know this, but you accidentally wrote a rock song. I don't know if you know that, but you did. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Can you do that? If I give you the stems, will you take the acapella and make, like, a metal rock version of it? And so we did, and we released it, and it is done amazingly because it started to open people up in different genres to the chaos universe. And then a couple weeks ago, I had him do the same thing for Saddy Daddy-O. So now that people care about the chaos universe, I'm finding ways to spread it into other genres by collaborating with artists who I trust who get it. So we're absolutely doing that. Yeah, CJ just did a remix of Saddy Daddy-O. And so those duets you were mentioning, do you guys remember the duet? I don't know if you saw it. I did it, and then a bass player jumped on.
Yeah,
and then
I saw
a guitar
that
player jumped on.
Yeah.
So I emailed all three of them, and they sent me the stems for it, and we're working on the agreement right now. I'm mixing. They are actually the remix number 4 that's going to drop probably sometime either next week or the week after that. So we're doing that. I'm really enjoying seeing people take the chaos universe and take it to other genres, because obviously I have my influence, but you know, it doesn't only belong in electronic. Chaos could be any sort of genre.
So a technical question. So when mm-hmm. you sign these deals mm-hmm. with these people, they're not writing the song. They're just taking what you have and moving it over to their genres. Basically there's publishing then. So they can't make anything off of the songwriting part. So how do you get them money for Yeah. They're not going to be around if they don't make money.
Right. So one thing that I do is if an artist is going to be working, if we're just going to be collaborating with my studio, something that I determined a very long time ago was that, you know, my studio is not a Fortune 500 label that's going to screw over artists, right? Like I care very much about artists. I was skipping meals a couple years ago, and thanks to the internet, I'm at a point now where I'm actually able to just sort of eat and make music. So the last thing I ever do is even consider trying to hoard all of this for myself. So my deals are insane. So let me give you an example. CJ Vickery and Pandasonic, a week and a half ago, when they said that they were interested in making a remix to Saddy Daddy-O, I gave them both the exact same deal. I said, okay, great. 50-50 publishing. I get 50% of the royalties. You get 50% of the royalties. And I had a friend ask me, he was like, isn't that weird though? Like, don't remixers usually make a smaller amount because it's not really their song? I'm like, yeah, but what am I getting for that? We are now equal partners in a song, which guarantees that you better believe they're going to put their entire effort into marketing it because they have as much incentive as I do. You know, I have a community already and I know that I can drive a certain amount of traffic to it. That's great. But giving them 50-50% not only takes the pressure off, but it also gives them a reason to have fun with this. You know, like nothing made me happier than 2 weeks ago seeing Pandasonic had 16 monthly listeners. And then yesterday I opened it up and he's got 1,600 monthly listeners now, you know, just by giving him what he deserves because he did most of the work. So they're thanking me. I think he texted me the day. He's like, dude, thank you so much for giving me like 50% publishing. Like that's insane. I was like, no. I didn't give you 50% publishing on my work. You gave me 50% publishing on your work. You know what I mean?
Like, I was already done with it. Like you just did something else.
Yeah. We're in this together, man. And like, believe me, I've got plans for you. So we've been working behind the scenes on, you know, I've learned that every artist has other skills. So, you know, he's got different things that he does that we're working on coming out with some really cool stuff later. Turns out he's really good at like streaming mechanics and stuff. So we have like a virtual show we're doing later this month with Brooks where all three of us are doing like a virtual show that's going to be streamed online. So, you know, I'm very fair to my artists where it's right down the middle. And as sort of an extra token of gratitude, normally what happens is, through my distributor, which is DistroKid, you know, you can program royalties for iTunes, Spotify, and all that sort of stuff. On top of that, though, I sell MP3s. A lot of artists are shocked to hear that I still sell MP3s on, like, my little website portal. But there are so many people that still buy them. I would say 30% of my store revenue comes from MP3 sales. That's not really covered by the royalty agreement. So I messaged both CJ and Pandasonic separately. I said, hey, you guys can keep the MP3 sales. So I gave them both the MP3 file and they both started their own online store. So whenever people buy the MP3 from them, they're keeping 100% of that money. I take nothing from the MP3. So I bless my artists. Like I, you know, because I know that there's a bigger plan at play. And one of the things that I'm really good at, you know, despite that I may not be the best mixer or the best even musician or even the best comedian, one thing I'm really good at is the big picture. And I know that the most important thing right now is that this universe I've built needs to reach as many people as possible with the right people who understand it and can spread it. So now that I'm finding these people, if I trust them and I've approved it, I'm gonna do everything I can to support them. You know, it's the easiest decision. So, yeah. In fact, it made me sick when one of them told me that one of the artists I'm working with, like, was signed with a label for 3 years. And I said, how much money did you spend on marketing? He's like, oh, personally, I spent about $3,000. And I was like, you have 16 monthly listeners? He's like, yeah, how much have you spent? I said, I've spent $0 on editorial placements. I've spent no money on billboards. We don't spend money on marketing here at Somatech Studio. We make good stuff and we use what we have to market it with people that we trust. And lo and behold, it works. So I think it's going to be very exciting when like this keeps going and labels are going to be like, why does this red album keep pushing our artists down? It's because we trust the people we work with. Some of the stuff we've been doing behind the scenes here. So like my mages, like they're, you know, the mages started off as just moderators, but now that we have stuff to do, they're like eager to be a part of this. So,
yeah.
You know, we've got some mages who have been like, I've made my merch store, right? And, you know, it has a bunch of stuff in it. And so I'm getting really busy. Like the amount of time I have during a day is getting very stretched thin. So, you know, one of them was like every week they'd be like, hey, you know, I noticed that this shirt doesn't have like X, like 3XL and like this manufacturer's only got this many colors. Like, I think if you did this, and I finally just said, do you like doing this? And they were like, yes. I said, would you like to just take over the Chaos merch? I can add you as an admin. And like, oh my God, I'd love to do that. And then they started doing
it.
And then today I messaged them. I said, oh, by the way, send me an invoice for this amount of money and say merch consult. And they said, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to pay. What do you think we're doing here? Like,
you should pay your people.
It is what you're doing for me is you are helping me spread this universe I've built. Okay. It's earning enough money to keep everybody happy. So one of the craziest things that's happened in the last like 3 or 4 months is these people that have helped me for, you know, basically nothing because they believe in the project. They're like having to get used to the idea. It's like, guys, we did it. This thing that we planned, that we always dreamed about, the day when this thing would be self-sustaining, we're there. And now that I have food in my fridge, I'm going to take care of you guys. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm finding ways to support the people around me, and the craziest thing's happening. We're getting stuff done.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, so let's move on to these next two songs, because I've already had you like a half hour longer than we told you we'd have you, and I'm sorry.
Listen, you guys have me as long as you want. I love you too.
Oh, thank you. We like hearing that. Well, I want Brent to go ahead and talk about Saddy Daddy-O, since he's a daddy-o.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm stupid.
So
I'm stupid, but whatever. I felt like you'd understand the thought process behind that song, like the lyrics specifically.
I understood it very well. I think it has a good rhythm, but I think that first verse is perfect.
Screamed Benny. He's like, Brent. He was like, I need coffee darker than my soul.
It's perfect because, you know, you're talking about, I could actually see you doing this. I could see, well, dark coffee, of course.
You do
that's
it.
Gonna be me.
You don't have to see you. I live that day.
Yeah.
I mean, and if y'all, that's the only thing y'all listen to, go listen to that. That's
a bop.
Perfect. I mean, and not that the other parts of the song are not bad, because I actually wrote down multiple parts of the song, and then I was like, okay, I gotta make this song.
He's like, I gotta condense this down.
So I'll just go with the first verse, and then I was like, okay, well, I can't just put this one line.
Yeah.
So then I went on ahead and put it all, but that first verse is just...
Thank you so much. It's so weird that people, like, analyze my lyrics. Like, I'm still getting used to that, but that's really sweet. Thank you so much. Like, that's great.
I think your skill set as a technical musician and as a vocalist, it's so weird. I think of you as a performer, even though I've never really seen you like in a live setting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen you live, but I've never seen you like at a venue and I'm at front and I'm like, yeah. So I've never done that. So what is your technical process recording the vocals with the application of effects, harmonies, and pitch correction? Because you use them all. So, for example, you use different vocal effects in the first verse and the first chorus. Then when you get to the second part of the chorus, you add a layer of harmony onto it too. So kind of talk about that.
Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, how technical do you want this to get?
Not too technical, because, I mean, all of our listeners are not super technical. Some of them are, and you could get in the weeds with them.
When it comes to my vocal chain is probably one of the more special things to me. It's by vocal chain, I mean like that particular combination of effects that I use for most of my songs. You know, every musician will tell you that their chain for whatever they're using is like what clothes do you wear? I wear these shoes with this shirt and this jacket, but you don't put a jacket under the shirt. You put the shirt under jacket, then you put this. I like to think about them first. Watch this gymnastic. I like to think about the first Iron Man movie a lot. You know, how basically, if you haven't seen it, billionaire's locked in a cave. He has to escape it. So he builds a robotic suit that helps him get out of the cave and escape his kidnappers, right? But when he gets out of it and he escapes, all right, he's escaped and he gets to go back to his billionaire life. Well, he did just prove a really good concept, though, that you could have a mechanized suit. So what does that suit look like if you now have money to throw at it? So then he makes the Mark II suit, which is like the sort of silver one. And then he tests it out, and there's a few things he could sort of add and change to make it so that, okay, now we could fly in space a little bit. I've got extra weapons. So it's kind of good. So that's kind of what happened with my vocal chain. When I first moved to New York a couple of years ago, I was living on my brother's couch, and I was, you know, trying to make music under my DJ name, Somnitect. And I wanted to make a vocal style that I could sort of do. The problem was that I worked a job and I worked a job that would have me come back home at 2 a.m. when my brother and his girlfriend were asleep. So I can't practice vocals because they're sleeping. But I wanted to at least be able to record some sort of vocal, like, you know, like be able to like whisper into the mic and sort of sing it to hear. And put a demo down so that if I ever got to a studio, I'd be able to record it. So that would be like that first Iron Man suit of just trying to get something down. And so a couple of things that I did was like I used compressors, which, as you know, will take any sort of signal, squish it, and make it so that everything's the same volume. I discovered this sort of combination of like supercharging, which makes it sound like it's like radioactive, that like you're screaming through a megaphone. I added a little bit of reverb and stereo delay, all stuff just so that I could sort of like hum and sing ideas into the microphone late at night and not wake anybody, because by the time it came through the computer, it would be this loud, boisterous thing. By the time I got my own apartment, I still had that vocal chain, and I used to call it Sandcastle, was the name of the sort of thing that I had made, this sort of gritty thing that I could sort of morph and change based on the song. So when I finally had the freedom to like sing at full volume, I discovered that that vocal chain was actually kind of fun. Like, if you were able to put full volume into it, if you tweaked the EQ settings and twisted a bunch of knobs, you could make this really weird vocal that sounded like you were screaming on the inside of your own head, this sort of omniscient character that's kind of looking down, but is also like among you. Like, it wasn't a human organic thing. It was this robot that weirdly had a soul. So that's how that style sort of evolved. Now, when we fast forward all the way to like the Mark III suit, which is the first album I ever did, by that time I've been using that vocal chain for years, and so I figured out a couple of things. Number one, if you use him for a verse or whatever you're going to do at first, by the time the chorus comes in, if you double him up and you put one of him with a chorus effect that stretches him out to the absolute sides of the room, the two guys will harmonize with each other perfectly because they're both using the same pitch correction. They're in the same scale. They're both using the same frequency. So all I would do at that point is sort of mesh their EQ a little bit off each other so that they're filling the same person. And it ended up working because one of the themes with my music is the idea of like introspection and feeling alone, but also the idea of maybe having a split personality, of having a persona. So Gongers is a great example of that, where like at the end of it, you hear him go, you know, cross my heart, I'm never dying. And then after he goes through the cycle one more time, he's then joined by a second person who's been stretched out to the edge, singing with him, but from the distant outside, like, no, dude, I got you. I'm with you. I see where you're going with this. I'm here with you. So that's kind of the idea of it, is that like every time I'm adding these effects, I'm thinking about this character as being very alone at the beginning of the song. But by the end of it, he's sort of joined either by himself or maybe another omniscient character. And that gives people, I think, the feeling at the end of my music that it's not just, woe is me, I'm by myself, I don't really understand the world. It's not, I'm by myself, but by the end of the song, I have kind of found unity. And so in that way, I think that the harmonizing you're talking about sort of, and this is my guess because I can't speak for the people listening to my music, I think it gives people the feeling of like closure, of being joined by somebody, even if it's me or themselves. So I think that's why my songs start sad, but end with like, you know what? Okay. All right. At least, okay. I think we're good. I think I have a better handle on this. I feel less alone than I did 2 minutes ago. So, you know, just trying to use effects not to hide imperfections or try to just be cool, but use it to kind of subconsciously let the listener know you are being joined by others, that there's other people in this universe that feel how you feel.
Just went to the doctor to talk about my head, about the way I'm feeling, that I wish that I was dead. My life is getting heavy and it's taking such a toll, so I stopped to get a coffee that's darker than my soul. I head up to his office to talk about my day. We talk about my daddy and the things that I would say. And then he pulls out his notepad, my spine gets little chills, and he writes me a prescription for little happy pills. I'm on the Lexapro, and I might just take a trip down to Mexico. Shit, I'm on the patio, and I'm buying things online, a sadie daddy-o.
till I go to bed. I'm just sad as fuck. I got 12 pairs of blue grippy socks, drink a Dr. Pepper, and it's on the rocks. And my friends tell me that I'm unwell. And by friends, I mean I'm by myself. It's just me and my inner thoughts, and I promise you that they're no help. They think I should go outside to take a stupid health walk, but I'm fed up with the world. I'd rather eat my Kellogg's, but then my stupid phone beeps. My doctor's trying to text me. Hey, here's a quick reminder to re-up on your Lexi. I'm on the Lexapro, and I might just take a trip down to Mexico. Even though I'm broke as shit, I'm on the patio, and I'm buying things online, a sati daddy-o, just to feel
It's funny. I was talking to Rennell before you got on, and I was like, "There, I have to listen to Artie, Uncle Artie, different than everybody else." And she's like, "Well, why?" And I go, "Well, first, there's not a guitar normally." And I was like, "Cause I'm a guitar guy." And she's like, "So what? You just pay attention to the verses when you listen to him?" And I was like, "No, I listen to everything, but I get to listen to it differently because the thing that is my crutch, which is a guitar, is not there. So I'm kind of left to where I can explore different things of what you're doing when I'm listening to it. And I probably don't listen to it like a normal person. So,
but that makes sense why
normally though, that's what makes us different, Brent. We listen to music in different ways because we've both created it. So we're listening for things that maybe the person driving in the car doesn't hear, and we get to point them out and explore that with the artists on our show, and other people get to hear it and they're like, oh shit, never thought of that. That's why we don't suck. So
it's funny you said vocal chain, because I thought about saying that, but then I was like, no, that's probably too techy. So
no, I'm very,
so thank
I'm,
you for
I'm,
saying it.
No problem. And that my vocal chain has evolved with every single one. Like, believe it or not, the vocal chain that I'm using is the same combination for every song I've ever done. But every song I've gone in there, because I know where the right knobs are that I care about. You know, there's like 7 or 6 knobs I know if I change those could change, and I'm still learning how to use it. I'm very excited one day to maybe work with like a plugin company to kind of take what I've built and try to build like a single one-off plugin for other artists to use, because I've already started getting people asking me like, yo, how do you get like that arty style? And I'm like, dude, my god, dude, I can't believe they're like talking about my stuff like I have like a distinct style. Like, that's insane.
You do though.
So it's,
but you do. It's very, I mean, I, as soon as I hear you, not only your music, I know it's you. I always know it's you. It's kind of like when you listen to Eddie Van Halen play. It's how he plays, how he, it sounds dirty, fingers the fretboard.
Yeah.
You know it's Eddie just because of the tone. And it's the same with you. You have this vocal chain that you've developed that is just cool. And the way you're able to stretch it in different songs and use it differently is awesome. And so I'm glad you gave all those details.
Yeah, I'm very trans. My community knows this. Like, I am beyond transparent. Like, when people ask me, like, you know, what plugins I'm using, who, you know, which settings I do, like, I do at least 3 streams inside the Discord a week to my community, and I show them exactly what I'm doing. In fact, we have this really awesome, we have one user who a couple months ago, he's been listening to my side project, Somnotect, for months now. And he listened to this album I made called Distance, which is sort of this lo-fi it's a different animal altogether. And so he said, like, I've always wanted to make music before. And so about a month and a half ago, after seeing a bunch of my workshops, he's like, dude, I downloaded Logic Pro and I think I'm going to actually do it. And everyone was excited. Like, oh, little baby's growing up. He's going to be like Artie one day. He's going to make his own song. So he uses the software, and a couple weeks in, his free demo is getting ready to expire. And so he says, hey guys, I'm probably not going to make any more music. Logic Pro is going to expire soon. And I was just like, oh, I have an idea. So I said, you have like 2 weeks to finish your song. If you finish your first ever song and submit it to Spotify to actually release, then the community will host a fundraiser to buy your software for you. And so he finished it, and we had like, I did workshops for him where I was showing him, okay, what do you have a trouble with? You have a trouble with stereo delay versus reverb? Okay, let's talk about it. So I'd show him. And he ended up doing it. And then we hosted a fundraiser, and within 15 minutes we had him, we bought him a full copy of Logic Pro, and it was a really beautiful moment. But it highlighted the fact that, like, you know, I'm transparent about everything I do. Like, this is going to sound insane to you guys, but I don't consider myself a musician. I will always feel like I'm trespassing, because everything I've done to this point has been trying to chase people that I admire and try to emulate people that I admire, but also find my own way in it. But I will never consider myself good at it. So when people ask me, like, dude, what vocal chain are you using? I'll tell you exactly what I'm using, because I don't feel like I'm hiding anything that's necessarily special. It's just in how you use it. I mean, you can have all of my software, all of my plugins, you can have all of my equipment, but, you know, what are you going to do with it is the question. And so when people ask me for my advice, the last thing I talk about is equipment, unless they ask. The first thing I talk about is like, well, what do you want to do with music? Why do you want to be a musician? If you tell me that you just want to go on tour, that's fantastic. I might not be the best person to ask about that. I've never been on tour before, you know, but if you ask me, how do you know when a song is ready? How do you know when it's something that you love, that you believe in? I can answer that all day long, and I'll tell you exactly what went into mine and what doubts I had. You know, I think we need to demystify being an artist just a tad bit, because I think that especially pop culture and like popular music has made it seem like, you know, there's all of these nuances that artists don't get. If I hear one more podcast with a famous artist say, you know, here's what people don't understand about creative, it's like, guys, it's not that complicated. You know, what's complicated are people and connecting with people. You know, like, the technical aspect is learnable. You know, that's not hard. What's hard is finding the right thing to write about. So I'm trying to, instead of just complain about that, I'm trying to exist in that by being transparent with everybody about what I do, so that I see more examples like that guy, where people come into my community unsure if they want to create, and then just by seeing my process decide that, you know what, I think I can do it too. If he can do it, I can do it.
So next question. I want to talk about the one, and Brent, you're just going to be quiet this time.
I'll be quiet.
Are we talking about Meltdown?
About Meltdown.
We just added some new Meltdown merch too. I'm in the mood to talk about Meltdown.
Oh, good, because I want some Meltdown merch. So I don't know what I have to do to get Meltdown merch other than buy it, but I want some Meltdown merch. But we're going to actually talk about feelings, you and I, for a second, which is something this podcast doesn't always do very well. I even commented on the song on Instagram, Instagram. I have never felt more understood by a song, possibly in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't have ADD, although my father would disagree with that, and probably my mother, but I have incredibly debilitating anxiety. I have the anxiety that for years it was hard to leave my own house. I have anxiety where if it feels like I choked on something wrong, I'm now in the bathroom hyperventilating. And when the anxiety is up here and I can't find my fucking car keys, the world has to suffer with me.
Yeah.
And there's no controlling it. And a lot of people will be like, oh, you can control your emotions. No, I can't, because it's why it's called panic disorder, because it's a disorder. It's an actual clinical. I don't have control. My brain goes, we're overwhelmed. The mask is off. Now you're dying. And it's meltdown, 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 meltdown. And I listen to it and I'm like, I know this is about ADD. Like, I know that. But I often find that their ADD and anxiety have a lot of things in common, actually.
Mm-hmm.
On a personal level, it was funny. It was a little bit about me, which is probably not that good of a thing. because it sucks because I was like, yeah, I melt down. Oh, absolutely. And it's everybody's problem. And no, I don't want to fix it. Well, I want to fix it, but I can't. It's not just going to be fixed. And the line, what the fuck rhymes with purple? I stopped it like the second time I listened to it. And I was like, what does rhyme with purple?
Oh, yeah.
And I actually felt some anxiety rise as I was like trying to Google what rhymes with purple because other the than beat, fucking
the,
purple.
Because the beat keeps going while you're thinking. So you're like, I'm running out of time.
it feels like a clock melt, and you're like, ah, and that is what leaving the house feels like. When you have anxiety, that is what other people consider a minor inconvenience can actually ruin my whole day. And it's not because I'm a drama queen. It's because my brain takes those cues and instead of them staying here where they're supposed to be, I'm going to freeze or run. And then I have to look back and be like, sorry, I'm not medicated, bro. I don't want to tell you.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Like,
so
I,
do you have ADD? Or did you just write it for someone else?
So here's the thing is I have made this conscious decision at the start of all of this to, you know, keep most of my actual medical diagnosis is kind of hidden. And one
I
of
tend
the,
to do that, but this caught me.
I will say that this song does apply to me for a couple of different reasons. I definitely wrote this. This is one of the songs where I had an easier time writing this than some of the other ones, for sure.
Gotcha.
I'll put it that much. And so the reason that one of the reasons that it's been fun is that, like, I did a duet today where someone was – I've been really enjoying watching. So people don't know this about me, but, like, I watch a lot of TikTok, right? And I do love – I watch a lot of it, and I do like when people use my sound. But my favorite thing ever is when people do blind reacts to my music, because that's the only time I get to see people react to it, right? And so I like watching – seeing their face be like, what is this song about? What's going on? So the one I did today, same thing you're talking about. Like, he was like listening to it. You could tell he was like, okay, this beat's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But the second that I said keys, he was like, and I was like, yes, that's my favorite thing ever.
Dude, you don't understand. Like, I play that for my kid.
Yeah.
And she looked at me dead in the face and was like, that is us every time we leave the house. And I was like, us. She was like, no, it's you.
Yeah. I will say that writing that. So I started writing that song when we were still doing the Kickstarter, and I wouldn't finish it until after I was back in the woods, fully funded, ready to go. It was one of the easier songs to write. Like, it's actually kind of not – I wish it was more interesting, but when we were doing the Kickstarter, I would spend every day – I would wake up at about, you know, 11 because I worked till, like, you know, I got home at 3 in the morning every day, so I would sleep till, like, 10 or 11. I'd wake up, have just enough time to get, like, adult things done. But then I'd have like 1 hour at my computer to start working on Chaos before I had to go back to my grocery store job. Mm-hmm. And nothing derailed me worse than being like, okay, that means I have 50 minutes because I need to leave 10 minutes beforehand. And then I'd get up and go and my keys would be gone. I'd be like, where
every
the fuck are my keys?
Fucking day.
It was a good song to write because I was like, that was at a point where I was still figuring it out. But I was like, okay, one thing that this album cannot be is it cannot be me standing on a box looking around and saying, this is your problem. This is your problem. This is your problem. Like, this whole album has to apply to me. And so when I decided that I wanted to do like a meltdown song, first of all, there's the beat situation where I was like, okay, I want it to sound
like the heartbeat.
It's coming from different directions, like a clock that's inside out, that's – I want it to sort of like scratch, because if you have ADHD, right, that beat will do things to you because there's multiple rhythms happening in different directions, and so it will weirdly keep your attention. So that was the first thing I wanted to get them.
So that was on purpose.
Every molecule of that song is on purpose.
Because I felt it, yeah.
Because then it goes through one cycle before the lyrics actually start, because I wanted it to sort of like bring your attention and be like, hey, are you looking? Okay. Where the fuck are my keys? Like, right now. Where are they? And when I was writing it, I was like, okay, one thing I hate about some comedy songs is they try to go too big. They're like, I want this to be a song about meltdown. So they would have started the verse off with something like, you know, like, I'm going to throw a tangent. I'm going to throw a fit. I'm like, no. The best way to get someone to understand a big concept is to zero in on something so specific they think that you're spying on them. So I was like, keys. I forgot my password.
Oh, the password. And now I'm locked out. Or password can't be old password.
Oh, my God. You know, about to go to work, but I need my keys. Like, about to go to work. That right there causes the anxiety. But then when you say I can't find my keys, there's millions of people that affects. So it's like, that song was really easy because all I had to do was just pay attention to my own life. What sets me off? Oh, I can't find my keys. Because it's not about the keys. The problem is that I have things to do today and I'm stressed out. The keys are just the match. And this whole album's about talking about the match and actually lighting it yourself so that you can walk away unscathed. So it's like, let's talk about the keys real quick. Let's talk about how I can't find them.
And did you ever find out what the fuck rhymed with purple?
No, and that actually happened during a live stream. I was in the woods and I was like, guys, we have I have to move on to Saddy Daddy-O and get it mastered before we get the album in there. So we were in live stream because I broadcasted all of this, of making this album, and I was sitting there and there was like seven people watching. I was like, guys, we need like one more line. Like, and then I started laughing. I was like, guys, what if the last part of this song is like meta? What if it's about writing this song?
Yeah.
Need another verse, but it rhymes with purple. I was like, oh, dude, that would be so funny. And so we like wrote it like right there on the spot. So it came together really naturally.
I love it. I felt understood and attacked at the same time.
The other thing I want to point out that someone picked up on is, you know, some people have been sort of debating. A few people have been like, you know, well, you do know that this is not a choice, right? But you don't know that, like, it's not a choice. It's like, no, you don't want to meltdown.
I don't feel like you're ever saying that it's a choice. I think you're like, here's what this is like. Yeah. And I have a match and I have gasoline.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put them together because I can't find my keys.
Well, and here's the thing, though, is that, like, the way that I write, like, I set booby traps all over my songs because I know that those people will exist and they can help out. So one thing that someone picked up on last week was they were like, did anybody else notice that this is the only song on the album where he has dropped his voice down an entire octave?
I didn't even think of that.
It's not up here. It's... where the fuck are my keys? It's down. Everything's been pitched down an octave. And that's because the narrator in this song is the voice inside his head. He's convincing him that he doesn't have a choice, that he just wants to, like, no, you don't have a choice. Come on, throw a fit. Do it. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. So people have started picking up on this because they're listening and they're paying attention, which has been really fun. So yeah, if you listen to it again, you'll notice that, like, it's
now
not my voice.
Now I'm
going to
be like, oh, Panic has another voice.
So it's right. For some people, like, melting down is not a choice, but that's the character talking to you, saying like, hey, you should throw a fit right now, shouldn't you? Yeah, you should.
About to go to work, but I need my keys. I don't see them.
But that's just from, like, the way you write.
Oh, yeah.
No other reason. No other reason.
You write old, man. That's
no, you write saying. Like you fucking you, have been
you
around.
You write like a senior citizen.
Yeah.
That's so mean.
Yeah. That is not what I fucking meant. Fuck you.
Yeah, I will say my lyric writing is probably the most mature thing about me. I'm bathed in immaturity in every other aspect of my life. And that's actually been one thing that's, it's been kind of a challenge for all this is that like when I'm making this music and, you know, using these clever little schemes to get things to kind of spread and running, now I'm running a studio that's more like a label and I'm really good at doing this and I'm figuring out that, you know, one of the reasons that after 10 years of applying for jobs and never getting them and getting laughed out of them and just never belonging in kind of corporate America, trying to do video editing, trying to do this for a company, that the reason is because there's only one thing that I'm designed to do, and that's to run something that's undefinable, to spread something that's it's on the tip of your tongue and it's right there. I understand this universe so well. But it's not something that you can define. And one of the challenges is that it's one of the only things in my life that I have this much control over. I don't have this kind of control when I leave this computer and I go out into the real world. You know, I'm suddenly like getting hit with PTSD of like working as an essential worker in New York City and I can't be outside for too long. Or, you know, the people in my life are, you know, I've had people in my life who like the way that they think or that the way something that was happening and I couldn't control it or change it because no matter what combination of words I use, I can't get them to change their mind. But then I'd go home at night and suddenly there's hundreds of thousands of people that are hinging on every word that I say and that are listening to me fully. One of the songs that I'm coming out with, so we're doing Chaos Expansion Packs, by the way, which I just want to quickly mention.
Yeah, let's end it on that, actually.
Yeah.
Because I can't ask you for advice again, because you've already given us multiple little levels. Well, we love having you, so it's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. So now that the Chaos Universe has people that are journeying to it, so we say, and are living in it and experiencing it, I've dusted off the original blueprint for what the next phase would have been had we figured this part out, which is that Chaos is not an album. It's a universe. So one thing that I do really well in my process is merging ideas from different places. So one thing I've always been obsessed with is video game culture. I love how in the last 10 years, what you see is you'll have a tentpole game come out, like a Destiny or like a Call of Duty or something like that. And then periodically it will drop what is known as expansion packs, things that sort of add to the universe, give you extra levels, give you extra weapons. And it's all in the same of sort of building a world. And so one idea I had is, you know what? No one's ever done that for the music industry. I was like, what if Chaos isn't an album? What if Chaos is a universe? And what if we released expansion packs, which stands for EP,
nice.
Which could just be extra songs every now and then that kind of add to this. So this month on May 26th, we're releasing the first ever one. It's called the Chaos Expansion Pack 1, and it comes with four more additional songs that kind of fill in some of the gaps. And so we'll be releasing five or six of these over the next year so that, you know, in a year and a half, 2 years from now, the Chaos Universe will actually be about 30 songs deep, and it will be able to pick and choose which ones are going on tour, and we can sort of bend it and mold it, and it can change over time, and more artists can come in, and I can leave. You know, certain things can kind of happen. So I'm very excited to start working on that and pushing this even further now that people, I have their attention, basically.
Joining us again for another episode of the Sound Pollution Podcast. We want to thank Artemis again for being on the show. Please make sure you are clicking those links below. Go support this artist. Go buy the music. Go share the music. Also, hey, share Sound Pollution. We have a lot of cool artists come on, a lot of cool different genres, because fuck genre. And we would love to have some new listeners. If you are not already following, liking, subscribing, and downloading, please do that now. All the links are below. Also, our Patreon link is below. Also, our store is up. We are really excited about this. It was a lot of work. We have a new logo just because Mr. Artemis actually inspired me a little bit, and I needed to get some stuff done. So please try to support us. You know not a lot of people can afford merch that's t-shirts and stuff, because those can be a little more expensive, but we have mouse pads, stickers, you know, shot glasses, wine glasses, all kinds of things. So go ahead and click that link below as well. Anyway,
get out the-